Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Everything has a place, and you must put everything in its place.
Well, I mean, otherwise you're just a fucking hoarder.
Exactly. Heaven forbid we hoard toys.
No, I collect, and I curate. And I tell stories with my display. It's my art. Well, and it is. It's kind of my art.
I know it is. The funny thing is about curation is curation also means getting rid of things.
I'm pretty sure that's not true. I have an English major, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to pull rank and say that's absolutely not true.
Uh-huh. All right.
That's quitter talk.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network, as we face the 20 days of Christmas, I think. I don't remember if it's 20, 21, something like that. I don't know, folks. It's December 2024. We are part two of three so far of this sequel trilogy here. I'm, of course, TFGN Mike, as you heard the grumbling of, I don't know, It's Mr. David Draper, as always. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's good. That's good. Today we head once again to a galaxy far, far away. That's right. We continue the 12 months of Star Wars Spotlight as we make our way through the sequel part of the Skywalker saga. Today we'll be discussing Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Part 2? Yes. Yeah, are you right? Old friend. But I'm not coming back.
I regret that I am unable to present my father's request.
That was a cheap move.
If my ship has fallen under attack, this is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan.
Now, what's interesting is, I mean, we've been doing this in order of the story.
Right.
As opposed to the order that they actually came out.
Right.
So what's interesting is this is where I really feel, in general perception, the turn came for Star Wars. Like, this is the one that everyone goes, oh, this is when it went bad. Like, they gave Force Awakens a pass.
Right.
And some people liked Rogue One, and some people were like, kind of, you know, oh, there's a little too much fan service. And I think now most of those guys would be like, oh my God, please, please give me fan service, as opposed to like just spitting on me. But this is the one I think that people – this is the moment that it turned and people turned hostile. Fans turned against the franchise, the common folk. I mean, and it still made like over $1 billion. Like all three of these movies made $1 billion, I think.
So like, the budget
– closed in on two.
Yeah, the budget for Last Jedi was $300 million, which we've been talking about this recently in almost every movie-type episode that we've been doing – across the Geekcast Radio Network, not just here inside Studio 2009. But man, the differences in budget costs versus what it, like, I just, we, well, okay, so you folks are going to hear this in December. So you've already heard episode 94. But as of this, where Dave and I are in existence of the Force and whatever right now, I literally just recorded an episode covering the 2014 Need for Speed film based on the video game franchise, and that movie had a budget of, I don't know, something like $66 million, $67 million, whatever it was, and it made $203 million. So it was a success. But man, some of these... Oops, I forgot to turn that off. Some of these movies that make $1 billion and have to spend $300 million to get that $1 billion,
and
crazy to me.
Supposedly the rule in Hollywood is you got to double that because you got to factor in advertising. That's just the budget that doesn't factor in advertising. So it's usually like double.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why licensing and merchandising is a thing. That's you know.
Yep. Absolutely. So yeah, The Last Jedi, the middle part of the story, the supposed, and you're going to faint when I say this, the supposed Empire Strikes Back of the sequel trilogy. It really isn't at all. And the thing is, I don't dislike this film. I'm not like everybody else on the internet. You and I are not like everybody else on the internet. Oh my God, it's hated. We mentioned this off air, and I'll mention it on air in this episode and in the next episode when we do Rise of Skywalker. The sequel trilogy, not literally, because something happens in between this film and the next film, but the sequel trilogy is the quote-unquote killing off of the classic characters. Han Solo dies in Force Awakens. Luke Skywalker dies here. And sadly, in real life, unfortunately, Carrie Fisher passed away between this film and the next film. So, you know, I just wish that somehow they were able to... I don't know what happened. I don't remember. Maybe you know. I'm not...
She died... Like, I think it was like her body kind of failed on her on a flight between England and America, I believe, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
And they didn't have... Like, they reused footage that they had for the Rise of Skywalker, but they weren't able to film anything new for that film.
Yeah.
Because it was right after they wrapped up filming Last Jedi, I believe. It was pretty close to that.
Morning of December 27, 2016, after being in intensive care for 4 days, Fisher died at the age of 60, at UCLA Medical Center. Fisher's...
Wow.
It doesn't say the exact...
I don't want to say the exact, because what I've heard is not...
Well,
I've heard things, and I don't know.
Yeah, the information here is basically... on the flight December 21st of 2016, when she had that last broadcast, commercial flight December 23rd, 2016, a passenger seated near Fisher reported that she had stopped breathing.
Yeah.
And another passenger... Yeah,
it was her heart, I believe, gave out.
Yeah, probably. Most likely. But what I was going to say was that...
It was a murder, okay? Do we have to, like... She was part of an international cartel, and they took her out. Like... I don't know why you keep belaboring this.
No, I'm not trying to belabor anything.
You're gonna get us killed now.
No. Because I wasn't even gonna go there yet. What my original point was, you have George directing all three of the prequels. You have different directors for each of the original trilogy, as far as I remember.
But that was because George couldn't physically do it. He had a heart attack.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm not saying... I'm just trying to get the information out there.
And okay, the information is that George did the first one, and I can't remember if he had a heart... He had to take a... Empire was very difficult for him because he couldn't handle the stress.
Right.
And he did not like... He was friends with Erwin Kirshner until they made Empire Strikes Back, because he felt Kirshner was making it too much away from his vision.
Right.
And Richard Marquand,
Marquand,
was more of a yes man for Return of the Jedi, and Lucas was kind of like basically ghost directing it, but like again he'd had a heart attack somewhere. There were relationship problems with his marriage.
Right.
I remember like when there's a story about how they were having the first story conferences for Return of the Jedi, and George and Marcia came in and said we're getting divorced.
Right.
So they're basically. Yeah, he did the first one. He had a very strong hand in the third one. He felt very betrayed by the second one, and then he did everything for the prequels.
Yeah,
which I feel was a mistake. Because look, George has... I always feel bad because people have skills. I mean, J.J. Abrams has skills. I think the fan base doesn't want to give him that. These guys have skills. It's just they do stuff beyond their skill set, and that's where they fumble.
Yeah.
George is not a good director. And he's not like it's funny because he's not a good director. He's not a good writer. He's a good idea man. He's a good producer. He's a good he's good at getting people together who are talented.
Right.
He's not a good writer and he's not a good director. You know, Abrams is a good casting agent or good guy for casting, and he's a good director.
Yep.
You know, it's just he's not a good writer, and that's he wrote Force Awakens and he wrote Last Jedi or Last Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. So
that's the problem is they always want to do the thing they're not good at.
Well, see, my point in bringing all this up is is I thought, and I was really thinking of Snyder, not Abrams, when I was thinking this. My thought was, why in the hell did they go after Rian Johnson to direct the? Why didn't J.J. direct?
He didn't want to.
Oh my God!
He didn't want to. He didn't want to do the third one. I told you, I think the last time Colin Trevorrow from Jurassic World was supposed to do the third one.
Oh Lord!
And he got into it with He got into it with somebody. Like he and Abrams were on this. The funny thing is, he and Abrams were on the same page, and they had an outline. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they didn't share it with Rian Johnson. Or if Rian Johnson just said, oh, this is neat, and threw it away. Like, and Kathleen Kennedy loved Rian Johnson, like, for some reason. I mean, he was supposed to have his own trilogy. I mean, yeah. I don't even know that's officially been canceled yet. Like, it's like, there's so much Star Wars crap that was announced and has, Taika Waititi's trilogy.
Yeah.
The guys who did Game of Thrones were supposed to have a trilogy. Like, you know, I mean, the Rey film might not get made at this point, episode 10. It was just that Kathleen Kennedy loved Rian Johnson for some reason. Because he had done, Experience Preferred, but Not Necessary, which was a little independent kind of science fiction film, a little small film about time travel?
As a director. Okay, so Rian Johnson's filmography here.
I know he did Knives Out, but that was after, I think, or like right before.
That was Knives Out was 2019. We'll talk about
that. Yes, which was afterward. Okay, yeah. Sure. I've never seen it. I played the level in Hitman, but I've never.
Oh, really? Interesting.
No. There's a level that reminds me of Knives Out, but it's not.
Okay. So the short films that Rian Johnson did was Ninja Ko, The Origami Master, Evil Demon Golf. I almost said Goofball. What?
I've never heard of these. Okay.
Evil Demon Golf Ball from Hell, Ben Boyer and the Phenomenology of Automobile Marketing, and the Psychology of Dream Analysis. Those are the short films that Rian Johnson wrote.
It wasn't a short film. It was a movie. I could have sworn he did some, not short film, but a small.
Mm-hmm. So he also did only as executive producer of Fair Play and American Fiction in 2023. For films as director and writer, he's got Brick, The Brothers Bloom, Looper.
Looper was it.
Okay. Yeah. Looper was good. I liked Looper.
I'm not saying he's a bad director, per se.
I'm not saying he's a bad director either. I'm just saying he has a particular style of film that he likes to do that I don't think Star Wars was in his wheelhouse.
But I think part of it is, and it's the same thing they were doing with the Marvel movies after a certain point, which is they get these small, not smaller directors, but directors that were less experienced.
Yeah.
Less big name directors, because they thought they could control them.
Yep.
Or you know, so...
So, but yeah, so far we've got, I can't wait for this actually. I need to look into more of this, but apparently according to, and again, take with grain of salt, folks, Wikipedia, we know it can be edited, whatever. But apparently in 2025, we're going to be getting Wake Up the Dead Man, or Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery. So we're getting the third Knives Out next year. So yay. But that's what I like Rian Johnson. And the first time I ever even noticed him was he directed two episodes of Breaking Bad in 2012 and 2013. He directed 51 and Ozymandias episodes of Breaking Bad.
I remember the name. I think that was a good episode, too.
Yeah, it's the 14th episode of the 5th season.
That means nothing to me.
I understand it means nothing to you. I'm just saying.
I'm the one you're talking to, so...
I know, but in a flashback, Walter White and Jesse Pinkman conduct their first meth cook. Walt calls the pregnant Skyler White with an excuse for not being home. In the present, Hank is wounded following the shootout with Jack's Brotherhood. Yeah, it's the whole 5th season type stuff. But, overall, before we get into the weeds of Last Jedi, I didn't, like, nothing in this film, even on this one. The funny thing is, I don't remember. Like, what I remember from this film is taking these three Funko Pops at the end scene when Luke faces the AT-ATs and the whatever else that's in that sunset, that's all I remember from this film. So this, to me, watching it again, was like, ooh, this is kind of fresh. I'm going into this like without any true preconceived notions other than the fact that apparently a dark corner of the internet hates this movie. It's not a bad movie.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's the corner of the internet. It's a it's a sizable side alley of the internet hates this movie.
Okay, fine. A very large corner of the internet, unfortunately, hates this movie, and they're wrong.
You know, it's funny because I've always I like things about this. Remember what I said? One of my things I said about Force Awakens was that the good things were kind of bad things about it because it was just frustrating.
Right.
It was like the good things kind of serve, you know, it made you think what it could have been if they tried. This movie, there are things that I love about this movie. There are things that I love almost as much as anything else in all of Star Wars. There are sequences that I think are fantastic.
Yep.
But there are also things that I hate about this movie that I think are just garbage. And I mean, when we get, I guess, sooner or later, we got to get into the story, but there's just the like, Poe's entire plot is infuriating to me because it's all about stupid people being stupid. Like, and it's just, I mean, when are we going to talk about the movie? Cause I want to get there. Cause it's so much.
Yeah. We're there. Calm down.
So at the beginning of the film, like the whole thing is that Poe is a jerk because he pushed attacking the Dreadnought, right?
Yeah.
He gets demoted, and then Admiral Hodo in her fucking ball gown. Yeah. Like I wouldn't mind her. I wouldn't hate that character if she was dressed as an admiral.
Yeah.
Like, Leia wore a uniform in the first film, and there's a cut scene where Leia was giving, a eulogy for Han. So that's why she's wearing a black dress. Okay, that's fine. She's mourning her husband.
Yep.
Why is Holdo dressed like a bridesmaid? Like, she's supposed to be she's a vice admiral. And she's wearing that stupid dress. It's just infuriating. Well, it's not infuriating, but it's dumb. What's infuriating is that the movie makes it very clear that the Dreadnought was about to vaporize, like, their ship, their big Mon Cal cruiser. And if Poe hadn't been some crazy, reckless flyboy and blown it up, like, that whole conversation where he's chewed out for being a reckless flyboy wouldn't have existed because that ship wouldn't have existed. Because Leia wouldn't have existed. They would have died. But they treat it like he's just being a man. He's being a stupid man who doesn't listen to the women. And it's like, but you would have all died.
Exactly.
And that thing is such a through line for the rest of the film that he did something wrong that I can't let it go. Like, the first time I saw it, I thought there was going to be this whole – plot about somebody being a traitor and blah, blah, blah. But none of that was like, you know, that whole – there was something weird about Holdo. And why didn't Holdo tell him her stupid plan ever?
Yeah.
Why was that – why did that need to be kept secret?
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about the writing of this movie is that she essentially has no – she has a plan, but –
She has a plan, and it's not necessarily – it's a movie plan. It's a Star Wars movie plan, and it's fine. I mean, it's not the best plan, but it's not inherently terrible.
I mean, Doc – go ahead.
But, I mean, like, why wouldn't you tell people what the plan is?
Yeah. Why won't you tell the rest of the class what the plan is, especially your hotshot flyboy pilot, Han Solo – young Han Solo type – who wants to get in there and shoot all the bad guys. Like, why wouldn't you tell him what the plan is? I mean,
because he's reckless and blah, 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 and he's a man. I mean, that's basically what it is. He's being a Han Solo type, and we're gonna shut him down.
Yeah,
and they get the entire resistance killed as a result of that.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, Dr. Ellie Sattler could have come up with a better plan, and she would have at least told...
Well, Ellie Sattler figured out that, this company that makes dinosaurs and this company that makes biological products is making there's suddenly this giant locust that eats all the crops except for the ones made by this company that makes giant dinosaurs. Like, even she figured that out.
Exactly.
Dominion.
And for those that are listening to this podcast wondering why the fuck did they just go back into Jurassic Park, is because it's Laura Dern who played Dr. Ellie Sattler. Like, Because when you said, oh, why do we need to see her in this dress throughout the whole thing instead of the admiral's uniform, whatever, made me click on Laura Dern's name to see what else she had been in. And I was like, oh, right, Jurassic Park, duh.
I mean, it's just dumb. Why does she wear that stupid bra? It's just, like, there's a reason people hate that character. And it's not that she's, like, I don't think she's a bad character per se. I just think that she's... She does really dumb things in the movie, and she serves this stupid, you know, whole thing about keeping Poe down and making him, you know, and then Leia wakes up again and she's down on Poe. It's just, that whole thing is dumb. And then, like, but at the same time, I know there's, like, everybody hates the bombers, and they're stupid. Like, and it's ironic because I was complaining about X-Wings and you know, TIE fighters in the last film. And this time around, I'm watching it, I'm going, don't they have, like, Y-wings are faster and more agile and they're bombers. B-wings are faster and more agile and they're bombers. What are these hideous, pokey, giant targets? And then I know everyone gets their butts out of joint because there's no gravity in space. Number one, that's kind of wrong because gravity isn't about space. It's about mass.
Yeah.
So the Dreadnought probably had its own gravity field because it's huge.
Yep.
So I mean, it would have attracted the bombs. So I mean, it's not ridiculous. I mean, also there's sound. There's no sound in space. There's no this. There's no. It's a fantasy movie, and so the bombs fall. But people are like, but there's no gravity in space. It's like things.
Bombs fall where they may, folks. That's it. End of story.
It's just like, dude, of all the things, like there are so many little nitpicky things that people get mad about, and I'm like the story is there. Why not get mad at that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the nitpicky thing would be on the other spectrum of the, you know, science fiction film universe. Oh, my God. Why didn't they burn up on entry when they went down to the platform in Star Trek 2009?
Weren't they wearing special suits?
Yes! That's the whole thing, yes! But
and then the one guy had a red suit, so he died. Ha, huh? Yuck.
Yep, yuck. Yeah, unfortunately, that, you know, the problem with trying to create fiction and is...
I mean, it's hard. I mean, one of the reasons that I'm not an author is because every time I try to write a book, I come to that moment where you, like, go, how are you going to do this? How are you going to resolve this? How are you going to get out of this? And, like, I don't know. And I can't just, And I've read enough books and I've seen enough movies that most writers go, it doesn't matter.
No, it should matter.
So I just give up and walk away.
I mean, as someone who in a previous life is and was a published author of poetry, only because, like you, I got to a point where I tried to write several books, and I got to a point where I wrote, let's say, 100 pages, and page 101, I write a sentence that basically negates the previous 100 pages. It's like I started over, and I'm like, okay, I need to shorten this, and I went to poetry. But yeah, no, this movie,
we're just at the beginning.
I know we are. I know. But I love the opening scene. I love, like, this is what I missed about Star Wars is the space battles, because that's what Star Wars some
it part should of include Star that Wars. Yes
most, yeah most it should of. Include that, and I love that. I love the entire thing, the whole fiery explosions of the ships, even though. Unfortunately.
One of which, like, one of those stupid bombers gets hit and it takes out three other bombers.
Yep. And I said, when I saw, my notes skipped down, but it's later in the film where Luke asks, wait, where's Han? When they're on the Falcon. And I'm like, oh my God, it's old Star Wars. For half a second, it was old Star Wars. But yeah.
Apparently there was a scene where he actually mourns Han and that got cut.
Oh.
I believe, it's been a couple of years, but I'm pretty sure they did do a scene where he's sitting there quietly mourning Han, and they cut that. And for the record, like, this is where Hamill hated how Luke was written in this film.
Yeah.
hated it, and he refers to the character as Jake Skywalker. So if you ever hear some YouTube guy talking about Jake Skywalker, they're talking about Luke from Last Jedi, because he just felt it was totally out of character. The funny thing is, Luke is one of my favorite things in the film.
Luke is one of the best things in the film.
Well, and the funny thing is, all the rumors about Luke hating, or Mark Hamill hating the script, I think he gave a fantastic performance as Jake Skywalker. I think he was really good in the film, and I think it speaks well to the man's professionalism.
Yeah.
I think he gave 100% in a thing that he felt 100% opposed to.
Exactly.
But he did what the director and writer asked of him.
Exactly.
Sort of admirable. Like, I know a lot of people would have preferred him to go, "No, I'm quitting unless I get my way," but
and it's one of those things where I looked at this and I saw old Luke. And I don't mean old Luke as in, yes, he's old.
Elderly Luke. You mean like old style, old time
old Luke. Like, hey, Sacred Island, watch the language, R2, old friend. Like, and then later, and again, I had forgotten about this movie. So later in that scene when R2 does the thing and he pulls out that old recording, I'm like, oh, God, no, you didn't, R2. And Luke is
like, low blow.
What he says was, that was a cheap move.
Yeah.
it's the problem I see with this sequel trilogy is the same problem that The Force has. There needs to be balance. There needs to be balance of establishing all of the new characters, not just Rey and Finn, but specifically them, and not screwing over like Finn or whatever character you felt was screwed over in any of these three films. There needed to be balance between the old characters and the new characters. And I don't think there was enough balance between
them. I somewhat disagree.
Okay.
I feel this should have been, this film should have been the transition between the old characters and the new characters.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been the first film brings back all the old characters, which they didn't do because they left Luke on an island and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Like, it should have brought back the old characters, and then it should have introduced the new ones. Second film should have had the new characters kind of rise up, and the old characters fade to the background, and the third film should have been the new characters.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what happened, but not by design.
Right. I think he says impressive, but because that would be interesting if he – I'm pretty sure he does. Everything in that sentence was wrong. I love Luke in this movie.
He brings it back to Kylo Ren at the end.
Later, yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you catch that? There's a lot of like, it's not about lifting rocks. And then it's about lifting rocks.
Says,
what do you think I'm going to do? Just walk out into the sunset and face down the entire First Order? And then he does that. That's exactly. A great scene. That's a great shot.
That shot is perfect.
Yeah. There's a lot. Like, when I first saw this film, I kind of loved it because, like, in the beginning, like, there's that shot on there. There's a blast on the hangar bay and all those X-Wings that I hate. And all those A-Wings that I didn't hate at the time, but, like, I was like, okay, they all get destroyed. Like, Rian Johnson puts all the toys in the driveway and then backs up over them. And I was so happy. He kills off Admiral Ackbar. He breaks everything. Like, and then later on when they're having a fight over Anakin's lightsaber and it snaps, I remember cheering in the theater. It was like he was basically saying, like, this movie was a Kylo Ren statement, you know, let the past go.
Yeah.
Kill it if you have to. And he was killing. He was breaking all the toys so that somebody had to do something new the next time. Right? And of course, in the next film, we still get X-Wings and Y-Wings and blah, blah, blah. We still get the same old crap because J.J. Abrams takes over again and he's, you know, can't let go. Now we got to dig up poor Billy Dee Williams and have him hobble around as Lando because can't let go. And I get it. It's nice to see him again. It's nice to see Dennis Lawson's Wedge. But just, like, it's, see? Like, it needed to be its own, like, you can't play, like, I feel they tried too hard to lean on the old stuff and not commit to the new stuff.
Yeah.
Except for Rey. And then Rey, they didn't, like, give her a, again, another thing I love about this film is I like where they go with Rey. I think the cave was a little disappointing because I don't think it's developed anything. But I love that whole stuff between Rey and Kylo Ren. Like,
I thought that was very interesting. Yeah, I thought that was
interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. I had never seen, I don't think we'd ever really seen the Force used like that
before. No, people bitched about it.
And that's fine. They can bitch all they want. But again, I think the reason why we didn't see that before is because they wanted to basically just leave the Force, quote unquote, as the mysterious thing.
Also remember that Supreme Leader Snoke was the guy that was making them connect.
That
was his plan.
That's true. Yeah,
which was kind of a bummer because I liked it better that they were connected.
And
it was, you know, like story wise, it was Luke was rejecting her, so she reached out to someone who actually wanted to be with her and work with her.
Yeah, you exactly. Know, poor BB-8.
Well, then we get into that whole dismal subplot with Finn and with what's her name, Rose Tico on the Canto Bight, which is Monte Carlo, and that whole stupid thing about how everybody there is like this enormous city filled with rich people, and they all sell weapons to the First Order and then the Republic.
Yeah, like,
really, all of them. And really? Then it turns out that, like, one company sells X-Wings and TIE Fighters. It's like, first of all, I understand that they threw out the Expanded Universe stuff, but, I mean, there are, in the Expanded Universe, there were companies that did X-Wings, and there were companies that did TIE Fighters. There were different companies.
You know, and this, is it the same company?
There's literally a scene where he says that the ship they steal to get off Canto Bight, like, the guy who owned that ship owned the company that made TIE Fighters, AT-STs, and X-Wings. Because he's like, oh, look, there is no good guy. There is no bad guy. It's, you know, because is that guy, I can't remember the actor's name. He's the collector in Marvel.
Yes.
The character's name is DJ because it stands for don't join, because that's his thing. Don't join. Yeah. And that's an interesting, like, sentiment, and it's an interesting idea for a character.
Yeah. But Benicio del Toro. I knew I recognized that guy.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, that whole subplot was, and then they get the space horses, and then they set the space horses free, and the space horses run, a 10 minutes distance from the city, and they're free. No one will ever be able to capture them again and enslave them.
Yeah,
just sure. Stupid.
Yeah. All right, so space horses, Arctic foxes, or porgs, if you had a choice.
For what? to wipe off the face of the universe, or
yes.
Oh, wipe off. I don't hate the space horses. I just think their story arc was dumb.
Yeah.
Like, and I, you know, the porgs were not in it as much as I remember them being.
The porgs
were in all the marketing.
Yeah. Not
in it that because the whole thing is like that island they filmed on had a bunch of native birds, so they created the porgs to like cover up the birds. I like them. I thought they were. I loved them at the time. I have like a whole section of my collection that's just porg related crap. Including the giant one from Target. I was kind of sad that we never see them again. I guess that was one of the things that got thrown in the trash, along with Rose Tico and Snoke.
Wasn't Snoke just the Emperor?
At this point, Snoke was a real character, and Rian Johnson just killed. Like, that's my favorite sequence. Like, at this point, that's my favorite sequence in the movie. Is that entire stuff where like Rey gets captured. And Snoke's toying with her, and he's like, and now my apprentice will turn his lightsaber. I'm like, he's turning his lightsaber, and he's turning Anakin's lightsaber.
Yeah,
it's that fight with the Praetorian Guard, and all that stuff is so cool.
Yeah, it is.
To the point that like he's like, you know, join me. Like we can end all of it. Jedi, Sith, Empire, First Order. Like let's just get rid of all of it and start new. And she's like, no, I can't do that. That stuff was so compelling and so good, and I loved it. Yeah, then I love like after. Another thing that the fanboys hate is the Holdo maneuver, which is, again, something I think is kind of cool. Like, I don't like Holdo, but, like, I love – people are like, well, how come they weren't just destroying the Death Star by flying their X-Wings into it? Well, number one, mass is mass.
Yep.
Like, this thing was a Mon Cal cruiser, so it was huge.
Yeah.
Number two, like, there is this natural human instinct to, like, not kill yourself. And, in fact, view that as kind of abhorrent. Mm-hmm. In fact, I won't even say the word because it might get the podcast in trouble because that's a word you can't use nowadays.
What, suicide?
Okay, he said it, not me.
Okay, so, all right, well.
Trigger warning.
No, no, no. You brought it up.
No, I'm saying
and,
it. Like,
and I will, trigger warning. I know you're not saying it, but you're dancing around it. And
dancing
I'm
around it because we live in 2024.
I know, and that's, look, folks, we here at the Geekcast Radio Network are not shy about talking about things that just are horrible and it's not an answer and whatever. And the reason why I'm saying this, and I will put a trigger warning if I really need to before all of, you'll probably have heard some sort of lightsaber sound effect or something to warn you that this is a sensitive topic right now.
And 30, it is, but no, like...
Right, but this is why I'm saying this, and this is why I'm saying that I am not afraid of saying the word suicide on this podcast and on this network because suicide is not the answer. It never will be, ever. It should never be an answer because 30 years ago, I attempted suicide when I was 14 years old. So I have experience with this. So it's one of those things where, yeah, no, just if you, whoever you need to talk to, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a friend, a family member, if you need to call the suicide hotline, I don't remember the fully 100 number off the top of my head, but on mobile phones, you can dial 988, talk to somebody, get some help if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that's a reason that people weren't flying their spaceships into other spaceships is because, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, we still talk about the kamikaze pilots from World War II.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, but this was, she was already expecting to die. It was already a suicide mission to stay with the cruiser. You know, the idea was that the cruiser would draw fire until the end and she would die. Yeah. So she just turns it around. But what I'm saying is, everyone's like, well, how come you just don't fly your tiny little fighter into the giant? It wouldn't work that way. They have – part of it also was that Hux wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Like that, he was firing on the escape ships, on the shuttles. And he suddenly realized at the last minute, oh, wait. He realized what's going to happen. And I think in a normal circumstance, they would be firing at the capital ship. And that would also – you know, it's just – it was a cool moment. But fanboys got to go, well, why don't they do that all the time? Because giant starships cost money, and people don't want to kill themselves, and there's just a lot of reasons that it's not a practical strategy for winning wars. Well, but in a dire situation when there's no other solution, it was a cool moment.
Yeah, and the practical strategy of doing any kind of bomber run or X-wing run or TIE fighter run or whatever is you fly through the trench and you shoot your wad into the hole to destroy it, to make it blow up.
Okay.
And then you pull out. You know, that's the whole point. Blow this thing and let's go home, kid.
Like, yeah, the idea is you generally engage in a situation where you kind of hope or expect to get to go home.
Yeah, exactly. You want to survive. I want to survive this.
Yes. Although that did lead to a moment that I love. Like another moment that I love is when Kylo Ren's out on the floor, and Hux kind of reaches for his gun.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, oh, and then Kylo Ren he loses his nerve. That's a great little moment.
Yeah, that is a great little moment.
Yeah, I love everything with Kylo Ren and Rey's arc per se. I love there's a bit where Luke says, and I love this. It's the only time in the whole trilogy, and it makes me so happy. Luke basically says the Force does not belong to the Jedi.
Right.
They don't own it. It belongs to all living things.
Things. Yes.
And there's that little mosaic in the cave, right? You catch that? That's like, it looks like a yin yang symbol, but it's like an alien, and he's like half dark, half light.
Yeah.
Like,
balance.
You know, Lucas has said that nobody gets the Force but him. And I think as much crap as he got for this movie, I think Rian Johnson got the closest to what Lucas was trying to get at with the prequels than anybody else has. Because I think part of the problem is Lucas understands the Force, understands Star Wars, but he didn't understand the fans' understanding of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because we thought the Jedi were the good guys. And he was like, the Jedi were flawed. Like, Lucas has said that Anakin's actual destiny, the prophecy was he would bring balance to the Force by destroying both the Jedi and the Sith.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Kylo Ren says get rid of both of them. Like, it's,
yep. That's how you have the balance, is you get rid of both of them. Yeah.
The problem is fans go, no, Jedi, good. And yeah. it's just like, so, you know, we got to bring back the Jedi. So everyone's mad at Luke for giving up on the Force. And it's like, I think that's what the prequel said he should have done, actually. Not, even though Yoda says, pass on what you learned, like, Yoda was one of the corrupt, semi-corrupt Jedi. Like,
yeah.
So I think Luke has kind of evolved the story he was telling as he was telling it.
Yeah.
So that when he told the first story, or when he told the original trilogy, the Jedi were unquestionably good guys. And then yeah. he had this more complicated view for the prequel trilogy, which didn't quite fit in with what was done. Because remember, like, Lucas literally had to reshoot a shot of Obi-Wan picking up Anakin's lightsaber because he forgot about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, Obi-Wan's got Anakin's lightsaber. I need to put that in a film somewhere. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, so, and again, there's like the bit in Return of the Jedi where Leia's like, you know, talking about her mother, and Padme mm-hmm. never touched that kid once.
Nope, unfortunately.
I almost, in my headcanon, the doctors, the weird alien doctors didn't understand humans.
Yeah.
So they were like, ah, this thing with a innie is a boy, and this thing with an outie is a girl. Here's yeah. a girl.
Yeah.
Here's your boy. that was because apparently Lucas and Natalie Portman did not get along.
Yeah.
So he just unceremoniously killed her off.
Poor Padme. I love Han was Han about it. I love that line. I love some of the uncomfortable moments between Ren and Rey. Can you please put a towel on or something?
Yeah, cute.
I thought that was funny. I was surprised when Yoda showed up. I did not remember that Yoda showed up.
The puppet looked bad.
The puppet looked bad, yes, but
I hate to be that guy. And then, yeah, I mean, it was cute because he knew that Rey had already saved the sacred texts.
Yeah,
so he burned down the thing, and it was kind of a nice moment between Luke. I like that he's like, oh, young Skywalker, you know, even though Luke's an old man,
yeah,
you know, it's good to see you again. Like that was nice to have a moment between those two.
Yeah, absolutely. And when DJ says, live free, like, my first thought was, live free or die hard? And I'm like, oh, wait, no, live free or don't join. And at this point, we get to more X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and I don't care. I love it. I love seeing those ships. I know you want others. I know you want ones that are better or that would work better, but...
Well, like Kylo Ren had a new TIE fighter. That was
really cool. Yeah, no, I love that. That was awesome. The really TIE neat. Silencer. Yeah,
and by the way, awesome. It doesn't fucking show up in the next film.
Oh.
No, he drives some janky TIE fighter-looking TIE fighter because we can't have new things.
Oh, I like the TIE silencer.
I loved it. I thought it was, again, like I said with BB-8, BB-8 was a neat evolution of the Astromech. The TIE silencer was a good evolution of the TIE fighter. It's like... Plus, it's been 40 years.
Exactly. People
invent new things.
But again, you put, you know, and again, I will make this reference because it's Disney at this point and it doesn't matter. That man over there is playing Galaga. He didn't think we would notice, but we noticed. My point is, you put every no-name soldier in the TIE fighters. You then have, I don't remember if Darth's TIE fighter had a specific name.
Yes. But you then, it was like an advanced X something.
Okay, fine, whatever.
But advanced,
Point is, Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's essentially supposed to be the Darth Vader leader of, since they killed Snoke. He's supposed to be the leader of the blah, blah, blah. So you put the leader of the blah, blah, blah in a new ship, in a different ship, and a TIE silencer. That thing is awesome. I love that thing. That's cool as hell. But when I saw the X-Wings and the TIE fighters engaging with each other, I'm like, yay, let's go. The TIE fighters blow up so well. Oh, boy.
I mean, who's in this? Who's handling the supplies for the Resistance? Adeptus Mechanicus?
I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's a little Warhammer joke for you Warhammer heads. Because they don't like new stuff.
So we have not gotten to the point of Rey's full origin, right? Like in this movie, he's...
So this movie basically, and again, this is the thing that I love, is he says, your parents were nobodies.
Right.
And she is hurt by that. And I think at this moment, her parents were nobodies. I love that because, again, it's true to the concept of the Force. Like there's a line in Ratatouille, the Pixar film, about how something like not everybody can be a great chef, but a great chef can come from anyone.
Yeah.
And Rey comes from nothing, and she's this powerful Force user. And Kylo Ren comes from the Skywalker lineage, the great, you know, and it's just like the idea that you don't have to come from royalty to be special. Like, this is one of the things that disappointed me about this film is I was really invested initially in Rose and Finn's storyline because they were, quote, nobodies. She's a technician. He's a former stormtrooper. They're not, you know, princesses and superheroes and gods. They're the ordinary people. But their mission is it wastes time and accomplishes nothing, which makes me sad because I would have loved it if the whole day had been saved by the ordinary people. It would have been a very, you know, everyone's talking about wokeness and progressiveness. What would be more progressive than the idea that the ordinary working people save the day?
Yeah.
But nope. This movie has a theme about failure. Which is not a bad like the idea that you learn more from failure than you do from success. That's fine, but then like everybody fails constantly, horribly in this movie.
Yeah.
Like I get it. I've seen Venture Brothers. Like I get it, failure. So, but I love that Rey, for now, for 2 years, came from nothing and was a nobody.
Yeah.
That to me, and I understand that the fanboys were like, oh, she's not Luke's daughter. She's not Obi-Wan's daughter. She's not somebody, you know, like Rey's twin sister or Ren's twin sister that he never knew about. Aw, that sucks. She's not special. Yes, she is. She just doesn't have to be from the sacred bloodline to be special. Now, of course, they ditched that shit in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Because and nobody liked that either. They didn't like that she was Palpatine's grandchild. And I will get into why I hate that.
In the next episode. On every level,
in the next episode. Everything about that I hate.
Yeah, so my note about this, when he told her your parents were essentially nobodies, I put, so if her parents were essentially nobodies, comma, then how is Palpatine her grandfather?
Well, I mean, you know, it still kind of works because it was like, and they had to like explain this in like the books. It was like a clone of Palpatine that went rogue. Because people are like, wait, somebody had sex with Palpatine? Yeah. Like, the idea of Palpatine having kids, there are certain characters, this is the thing, and we should really save this for the next film, but like, I hate it when they give certain characters children who shouldn't have children. Yep. Because, not because, oh, you should never have sex with a bad person. It's more like there are characters who aren't interested in that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sex is a very human thing to do.
Yeah.
And there are characters like Voldemort, like the Joker, like Palpatine, that aren't interested in that.
Yeah.
Like they're beyond that.
Yeah.
They're on another level and they're not interested in sticking their junk into somebody.
Yeah.
And in Voldemort's case, it goes against everything he believes in because he's about literal immortality. You know, having children is how we practically establish immortality in our species. But Voldemort's like, no, I want to be literal about it. I want to be immortal. I don't want to live through my children. I want to live.
Yeah, you want to live. Yep.
And so then they went back and they went, well, it wasn't really his kid. Nobody really climbed on that wrinkly, horrible, mutant, puffy-faced monster. It was a clone. And I am going to pay super close attention because, you know, I didn't catch it the first time because there is a shot of her parents in Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I want to see if it looks like Ian McDiarmid. I bet it doesn't. Because, again, like, we'll get into this with the next movie, but, like, that movie was literally filmed and reshot completely.
Oh my God.
You know this, right?
Yeah. I know some of it, and I will do my research
A whole other movie where Matt Smith, Doctor Who, was the villain.
Oh my God.
And that all got, like, almost all of it got cut.
Disney, you suck.
That's why that movie was $300 million.
Yeah. So my brain broke with the next scene that I wrote a note for. Wait, how? What the? And it's the scene where she, Holdo makes the sacrifice. Okay. And I'm like, when she basically kills the ship with light speed. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that how that's supposed to work?
I mean, there is a line in Star Wars about, like, them bouncing too close to a supernova or running into something else, and that would end our trip real quick.
Right.
So yeah, when objects run into each other, it's not good.
Okay. Because I had to rewind that twice, and then I had to go to Wikipedia and read to see what the hell actually happened. Because, I don't know, my brain just, like, went, you know, uncooked walnuts on that scene. I like, my brain just shut down. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, I get it now. It's a more, technically a less, even though it was effective, it was a shorter way of doing a bombing run. Or not a bombing run.
I mean, it was a trench kamikaze run. Yeah,
kamikaze run.
It wasn't a trench run, because a trench run is like a test of skill, and you're actually trying to get out again. This was a... Word of the day: suicide mission.
But
it was all like her thing was like I said before, she was expecting to die to begin with, and she just changed the parameters so that she could like take out the ship. And you go, well, why didn't she do that originally? It was because I don't know. Maybe she. I don't know.
What do you think of the skiing ships?
They're not my favorite.
Not mine. I was like. My note is skiing ships, really? Like, really? We need to be... What do you think this is? The Swiss Alps? I don't think so.
No, it was salt, not snow.
Yeah. That's the other thing that has me just whacked out on this movie, is that the whole planet is made of salt.
So no, it's made of some kind of crystal, because salt isn't red.
What? Right. So it's made out of some sort of white crystal, and then you know, making
First of all, it's not made out of one thing. It's because you see Chewie fly through the caves of the red crystals. The red crystals are obviously something important.
Yeah,
it's a mining colony or it's a mining operation that they're hiding out in that's been refitted for the rebellion.
Right.
But you see like mining carts filled with red stuff, but then there's salt as like a precipitation. Somehow salt keeps coming falling down. Because that was one thing I noticed was like in the great scene when all the AT-ATs fire on Luke, and it creates like this huge blast area.
Yeah.
And then when he has his confrontation with Kylo Ren, like suddenly everything's covered with salt again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's my thing. Like the ground was white, and then it turned blood red.
No, it was white over blood red.
Right. It was weird. It was just weird planet.
It was it was just wacky. Like it was a little wacky Star Wars thing. They're like, I was fine with that. Yeah. You know, it was a weird little sci-fi twist.
It's not, it's not something that I'm upset about or anything. I just I was trying to wrap my head around, and I was like,
and then cool color. I paid more attention to this time.
Yes.
The person I saw the movie with originally caught this immediately.
Okay.
For all the crap I give him about being a goofball, I caught this immediately. Luke's feet never brush the salt.
Gotcha.
Like, Luke's footprints never brushes the salt when he moves.
Yeah.
Because I didn't catch that.
No.
Which I assume is why he goes from being in a plane of like blasted open red stuff to suddenly there's salt on the ground everywhere so that they could put that in there.
Yeah.
Notice it.
And again, the first giveaway for me should have been, wait a minute. His beard is not longer, it's not white, and his hair is not gray. This is not Luke Skywalker.
I noticed that immediately, and then also he used Anakin's lightsaber.
Yes, he did.
Which got torn in half on the bridge of Snoke's ship, which I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yep.
And you watch the fight, and they never make contact until Kylo Ren does and then realizes it's a Jedi projection.
Yep.
And for the record,
yes,
it became a thing. There's a book... there were these books that like they would come in like these cool plastic cases that like you push a button and it opens up and it's, you know, like a Jedi case. And there was a book of the Jedi, and you open it up and it's like a I think it's supposed to be Ahsoka's like school workbook.
Okay.
Book of the Jedi. And there's one for the Sith too that had like a cool triangular. Anyway, one of the powers they list is projecting yourself through the Force as an image.
Nice. And
that came out before Last Jedi. So again, yeah, the fanboys got their panties in a wad about, we've never seen him do this before. And there was a thing. I mean, again, it's EU.
Mm-hmm.
So that's of dubious canonicity, but yep, it was established that Jedi could project an image of themselves into another situation.
Yep. And he really hates that ship. Blow that piece of junk out of the sky. That piece of junk. Oh, God. Wow. Best ship in all of Star Wars.
And best ship in all of science fiction.
That's right.
That's my girl.
That's right. I do love the line, no one's ever really gone. That's awesome. I love, just like in, I forget, was it Star Wars? Don't ever tell me the odds.
Yeah.
I love the callback.
That's Empire, by the way.
Sorry.
It's okay, I'm just saying.
Okay. I love that 3PO tries to say the odds and Poe tells him to shut up. I love that.
And then 3PO finishes 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1. Yep. And Leia, what are you looking at me for? Follow him. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It's got a few little tiny shreds of flaws, but overall,
no, it's got a lot of flaws. Like I said, the whole Poe's entire plot is based on stupidity. The Canto Bite thing is just a complete and utter waste of time and divergence that goes nowhere. I love the stuff with Rey and Luke and Rey and Kylo Ren. I think that's good, and that's the heart of the film.
Yeah.
And my problem, like I said at the beginning, my problem is the same problem I have with Force Awakens, where I love that they killed Snoke. Like, that was amazing. That whole sequence was great. I love that they blew up all the toys. I love that they did this. I love that they did that. But that was Rian Johnson. At the time I saw the film the first time, I thought that was part of the plan. And that they knew where they were going to go from there. And they did not. In fact, Rise of Skywalker is twice as long as it needs to be because they're trying to fix all the damage that Rian Johnson did in this movie. And trying to undermine it and trying to, like, make it go away. And, like, it's amazing that a multi-billion dollar corporation like Disney spends $4 billion to buy this property, has at least one – spends hundreds of millions of dollars per movie.
Yep.
And has no fucking plan.
Yeah.
Like, that is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
That Kathleen Kennedy just said, do what you want, sweetie, it's fine. And Rian Johnson said, okay. like, I don't hate it on its – like, everything I love about the film makes the third film bad because it's trying to fix it.
Yeah,
And that's the thing. Like I said, like, the thing is with Force Awakens, it was frustrating. All the good things were frustrating because you knew it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, this is like double not going anywhere. This is everything's going to be like bending over backwards to fix all the stuff that I liked about this film because it wasn't expected. Like, okay, we killed off our main enemy. He was just a clone like Ripley in Alien Resurrection. It didn't really matter. He wasn't really important anyway. Okay, great. Like, whoop de fucking do. They should have had Palpatine as a villain the whole time.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like all the good stuff is bad because it's in service of nothing.
Yeah, it would have been
which is, you know, like, and I will honestly say the first time I saw this film, I was massively entertained.
And I was entertained too, but trying to diagnose the story here, it's like, yeah, they should have just made, you know, they should have just put some strings on on Snoke's head and just had Palpatine in the background pulling the strings, because, I mean,
that's literally what he was doing with the Force.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I think what, so everything that Rey goes through in this movie, like her whole cave scene, it should have been her seeing him, not her seeing herself.
Well, the whole cave scene was just that was the one part of that whole thing that I didn't like, because it didn't go anywhere and it didn't mean anything. It was just, she saw herself.
Right, exactly. Like,
because in Empire, Luke sees himself in Darth Vader's helmet, but there's a reason for that. Because Darth Vader is a Skywalker, and because he's got a, you know, with Rey, it doesn't really feel like it means anything.
So remind me, because I have everything out of order at this point. The cave scene was after DJ told her her parents are nobodies, right?
No, it's way before.
Oh, it's way before.
She's still on Octo.
She's still on Octo. Damn it. See, they should have moved that scene around, because if they move.
No, because that happens at that happens after. Okay, she's on Octo. She goes to the cave. Uh-huh. And then she eventually leaves and joins up with Kylo Ren. And Kylo Ren says, I will tell you about your parents if you join me.
Right.
And she goes and she joins with Kylo Ren, and he delivers her to Snoke. And then there's the big fight scene. And after the fight scene's over, as he's trying to get her on his side, he's like, you know the truth about your parents. You know it in your heart. They were nobodies. And she starts crying because she knows it in her heart. Because at that moment, they were nobodies.
Right. Okay. See, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a way that you could have, like, everything she went through in this movie, everything Rey did, everything she did for her training and everything else. I'm trying to find, and obviously I can't find it because it isn't going to work, which is fine. I was trying to find a easy way of somehow connecting her to him to show that what eventually happens in the next movie actually makes fucking sense. But like you've already said in this episode, the next movie, they're trying to erase everything that happened in this movie and quote-unquote fix it. I don't know, man. Like I said, I enjoyed this movie for what it is. But the way I look at this movie is, it's a standalone. It has it's a standalone. It's like Solo. It's like Rogue One. It's like whatever other A Star Wars story movies are out there. I forget how many others are out there off the top of my head.
Movie-wise, it's just those two.
Okay, fine. But literally, this should have been called something else. You could still call it The Last Jedi, but just take the episode number off of it and just make it a standalone and do something else for the for the episode 8. Find it.
Do something else for episode 9.
Okay.
I get you.
Take away the 8 off of this.
Gotcha. Make
the Star Wars, The Last Jedi, or the Last Jedi, A Star Wars Story, whatever the hell. However the hell they want to do the naming scheme. I'm so sick of naming schemes, man. We're going to do an episode at some point. Not we, as in you and I, but at some point I'm doing an episode somewhere on this podcast network of mine about phone companies and their naming schemes for their phones and their technology. Oh, boy, don't get me started. But this film, The Last Jedi, it has a beginning, middle, and end.
Sort of.
It
literally begins right, like...
Right where
Force Awakens left off.
Left off. Right, exactly. Yeah. So technically, this should have had a through line. It doesn't, because it feels like, hey, you kind of know this, but then, hey, let's take this right turn to Albuquerque and go with Bugs Bunny and have an adventure. And that's what this movie is to me, is a standalone adventure. Because the end of this thing, what connection? There's no connection. This isn't the end of Empire where they're on the bridge or anything. This isn't an...
Yeah, but they're like all reunited. Like, it is the end of Empire. They're all reunited. Well, I mean, most of the main characters are reunited.
Yeah,
and they've gone through their journey, and they're together. They're gonna face their final confrontation with the First Order, which has somehow taken over the entire galaxy in 5 minutes.
Remember, this
is literally right after Force Awakens, and suddenly they rule the galaxy.
And
then there's that shot. I know, like again, the fans hate this shot. I love it. It's one of my favorite moments. Where the kid, like, it ends with the kids in the stables.
Yeah.
And they're telling the story of Luke Skywalker, The Last Jedi, being inspired. I love that. And then I love the one kid kind of casually uses the Force to, like, grab the broom and looks at the stars. Like, and then he does the ring thing. I was not a big fan of the ring thing. But, like, I love that the point was that that Luke accomplished what he needed to do. He inspired people to look up and have hope.
Okay. Now I.
Okay. And then we, but then we get to the next film, and it's like.
I know. We'll
surface of nothing.
Yes, we will get there next week. Well, next whatever.
Next but, whatever.
Yeah, but like, I guess I didn't see him using the Force. That's
he did.
Why
it's very subtle. When he walks outside, and
yeah,
the broom is like lying against the wall. He uses it to like call the broom over to his hand. It's like a real quick shot. It's much more subtle than I remember it being.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I'm like, what the fuck kind of ending is this? Like,
it's the show that Luke's actions inspired. Blah blah blah.
No, I understand. Like, the kids, I'm fine with. I don't like the adult coming in and breaking it up and telling them to get back to work. But the kids and telling the story and discussing all, like, that's fine. That's great. But the kid outside, at first I was like, and then I looked at it again and I'm like, wait, what? And like you said, it's like literally a split second, you know, blink and you miss it kind of thing where he uses the Force. And I'm like, oh, okay. Huh. Oh. Anything else you would like to say about The Last Jedi, sir?
I mean, it's just, it's like I said it earlier, it's amazing that they had everything in the world at their disposal, but a plan. But somebody that, like, I know that she's the whipping girl of all the fans,
uh-huh.
But this is why Kathleen Kennedy should be fired. Because, like, you had no plan, and that is mind-bogglingly irresponsible. Like, whether you like the films or don't like the films, she should have known what she was doing to some degree, and she didn't. And that's how that is excusable. Is like, what picture she must have of Bob Iger, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine the animal that he is having sex with that she has pictures of. That would be so horrible. That she cannot be fired for punting a $4 billion franchise.
It was a wampa.
And like I said, and again,
it was just a one-armed wampa.
It was a one-armed wampa. all the stuff I love, it's in service of nothing. And it's just, yeah. It's. I hear what you're saying about it being a standalone, but I mean, it does follow right from. It wouldn't work as a standalone. It does follow right from Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And it does, as much as it pains them, inform what happens in Rise of Skywalker.
I just feel like the middle part of it, the middle section. I don't know where it starts or where it stops, but the whole middle, especially with Luke, especially with his. With Leia being obviously almost dead, luckily she wasn't dead. She's the only one that survived, like we said.
Because she used the Force. Like, and again, that was the thing there.
Yep.
You know, I it never bothered me when I saw it the first time. It didn't bother me when I saw it the second time. Like, I get that everybody makes these weird Mary Poppins complaints about it, but she used the Force to pull herself to the spaceship. How is that like unfair? How is that outside the bounds of what the Jedi can do? I just whatever.
I've been waiting. When did my God, now I gotta look. So this movie released in 2017. So been waiting what, 40 years for that to happen? Like, I always wanted to see Leia use the Force. Ever since the reveal that she's his sister, blah, 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 all that. Like, I've been waiting to see Leia. And she, even though it wasn't like a lightsaber battle or something, at least she was using the Force. It wasn't just her reaching out to heal Luke or talk to Luke or talk to whomever, even though she does do that. But, yeah, no, the middle section of the movie is really where I feel it feels like a standalone journey kind of thing. You're right. It does bookend with picking up where Force Awakens left off, and it does leave us with some sort of ending of, hey, there's hope now. Yay!
For all five of us.
We're going to destroy your hope in the next movie, apparently.
Well, they fly now.
Yeah. I believe, I don't know what the hell happened. I know I watched Rise of Skywalker when it first hit Disney+, whenever the hell that was. But I remember nothing. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this, folks. I remember nothing from that movie.
Absolutely. I remember kind of a lot. So are you really invested in the Rose Tico Finn relationship?
God, no.
Good. Because it, like, that does not get dealt with at all.
Right out the window.
Rose Tico goes back to her home. Like, it almost literally is she dies on her way back to her home planet. She doesn't die, but, like,
right. Yeah, she's yeah, I got
barely
you.
In that movie.
Yeah. All right. Let's rate this thing. What are we going to give this one?
This is hard. Like, because there are, like I said, there are things I absolutely adore and love and think are fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's in service of nothing. It goes nowhere. And it gets, and again, it gets actively undone in the next film. I mean, it's kind of unfair. On the one hand, it's unfair to, like, judge a film based on, like, what came before and what came after.
Yeah.
But that's also what got me to see it in the first place, right? Like, if it wasn't called Star Wars, I might not have bothered to watch it at all.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the sequel to Force Awakens, I wouldn't have been there opening day.
Yeah.
I am going to give it a very reluctant 3 stars.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy the parts that I enjoyed.
Yeah. I am probably going to give it a 3.5, most likely. Because on this watching of it, because I've only ever seen this movie once before.
Me too.
And barely remember watching it all those years ago in 2018 when I watched it. But yeah, 3.5. Overall, I came away with it feeling good about it. I enjoyed it. Again, we're old folks, so you'll have to excuse us. We're not like, ooh, new characters. We need to be invested. No, just give us the old characters. Whether you kill them off or not, just give us the old characters.
You were literally saying the opposite of what I'm saying.
I know.
I'm older than you.
I know.
I'm saying this should have been their movie.
No, yes.
Not the old characters. It should have been the young characters' movie. Like, you should have done something with them other than the stupid waste. Their, like, Poe being treated like an idiot and Finn on this weird, dumb divergence to nowhere to accomplish nothing. Yeah. Like,
no, I'm agreeing with you.
Are you?
Yes. What I'm saying is my rating of 3.5. The reason why I'm giving it 3.5 is because it's a mixed bag. The good stuff outweighs the bad. There might be one amazing element or lots of fun moments. The lots of fun moments for me, everything with the old characters. But I wish there wasn't as much stuff with the old characters. I wish that there was more stuff with the new characters, like we actually get storytelling that fits the new characters. I wish we had that. That's not what we had. We had this weird amalgamation of everything.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of hear what you're saying.
All right,
my question is this. Like, this? So we had R2 in the first film. We have Leia in this film. So who will be in a space coma in the third film?
Find out next week.
I know, next week.
That's right. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny Bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009. It is, by the time you're hearing this, the middle of December at some point in 2024. We are on our way to the, did I really say this? The, no, 21 days of Studio 2009 here in December. Yes, the 21 days, 25 days of Christmas. I couldn't get episode 125 to fit into these because that's a whole other bag of can of worms and stuff, but this is The Last Jedi. He's Dave. I'm Mike. Coming up next, we've got Rise of Skywalker, and then after that, we're going to talk about the music of these movies of episodes 7, 8, and 9, and we're going to be doing after that for Christmas, sort of, kind of, a little early, though, even though it's going to be day 8 of December. We are going to be doing the holiday special, so everybody...
Should be November. That's when it came out.
Yeah, but it's Christmas, damn it.
No, it's Life Day.
Oh, God.
Christmas is in December. Life Day is in November. Sir, you wanted a Star Wars nerd on this podcast with you.
Uh-huh.
You know what you wanted.
I'm not complaining. Life Day is when the turkeys die. And we all eat.
No, Life Day is when you watch pornography. And then you go on a drug-induced trip into another realm by wearing a red robe and looking at a weird blue ball. And then Carrie Fisher, high as fuck on cocaine, sings a lyrical version of the Star Wars theme. Have you watched this thing? Do you know what you're getting in for?
No.
There is a reason Red Letter Media spent 10 minutes talking about 9/11 rather than the holiday special on their holiday special review.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can shoot us emails to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcasting clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. We are on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, at It's ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I'm at TFU and Mike. Dave doesn't do Twitter,
doesn't do most
social media. Yes. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 over there as well. As I mentioned, Rise of Skywalker is up next. For now, I'm TFU and Mike with
Dave Draper.
Claire is back in the studio soon.